As a leading businessman in the UK, can you please explain in a nutshell why you're so in favour of the UK leaving the EU?
I think at the broad level, I think that if you look around the world and look at history in a dispassionate way, the thing that's most valuable for both the economies of the world, but also peace and the future of the world is democracy. And you can look at countries like North America, which for all their problems have got a very good democratic system, which has created a tremendously powerful society with a lot of freedom, and South America, which has been dogged by a lack of democracy. Or you can take another example like Japan, which is in a few decades after becoming democratic, became the second biggest economy in the world, and so on. So you look at North Korea versus South as another example. So my feeling is that democracy is the fantastic thing for the future and for the present. And for some reason, lots of intellectuals in Europe have gone down a route which reduces democracy, which is the EU. Unelected presidents, MPs who can't initiate legislation, a court which isn't subject to democratic control, and so on. So I think at the broadest level, it's democracy is the key to the future of humanity.
So the UK is a business. Lots of institutions did warn against us leaving before the vote, like the Bank of England, saying it would cause problems. As a successful businessman like yourself, when you make a decision, you're almost certain of the outcome before you make that business decision. So why should the UK leave when we didn't quite know the consequences?
I think that lots of the main proponents of the EU tend to be highly educated, often at Oxford and Cambridge universities, and they have almost a religious addiction to Europeanism, I call it, and the EU, and it clouds their judgment. So during the Euro campaign, which I opposed, the campaign for the UK to join the Euro, that is, they were fantastically committed to the idea of the euro and said if we didn't join, we'd be in trouble. That's the Treasury, the FT, the Financial Times, most big businesses, Tony Blair, etc. And they proved to be wrong. When we didn't join the euro, the economy did extremely well and all the bad things they forecast never happened. The second time the massed ranks of the establishment forecast trouble was in the immediate aftermath of a leave vote. They said if you vote leave, the economy will go down, even before you've left the EU. And it hasn't. The economy has created 500,000 jobs, 700,000 I think it is. And it was forecast by the Bank of England and others that we'd lose 500,000. So you can't believe what you read from economists and the Financial Times and so on. They're gripped by a religious love, quasi-religious love of the EU.
So how has the Brexit process affected your business so far?
Well, I mean, not only our business has done extremely well. It's it was forecast that businesses like ours would have trouble. Actually, since the referendum, we've had record sales and profits. And but that's true of UK, the UK generally. Profits are at record levels, more or less, in the country. And in spite of the gloom and doom, unemployment's at the lowest level ever. The government finances are in much better shape than they were a couple of years ago. So things are looking pretty good in spite of Project Fear.
But the Daily Star published in 2016 that you lost 18 million of the value of your shares just hours after the Brexit vote.
Well, that was a very funny thing, actually. They did indeed do that, you're right, because in the immediate aftermath of the vote, the stock market went down, including our shares. So our shares went down to about £6 from about £7, something along those lines. And today, they're just under £12. They've doubled. So, but there haven't been no more stories in the Daily Star about what it's done to my the value of my shares. Thank goodness, I have to admit.
The Brexit promised by the Leave campaign and voted for by the people seems like it can't be delivered, and we could end up with a worse deal than before with the EU. So what's your response to that?
I think that the EU is going down the wrong path. People were asked, the leaflet that was put through every door in the land said, this is a historic decision, once in a generation is what it said. And it's been decided by Parliament, in effect, that the people will decide and then, quote, the government will implement your decision. They didn't say it'll implement your decision subject to seeing if we can get a good deal or a bad deal or any deal from President Juncker, because people knew instinctively that you couldn't guarantee a deal that takes two to tango. So the fact is that I'm completely convinced we'll be much better off if we leave on the 29th of March. We can save $39 billion that the Prime Minister's foolishly offered because she's desperate for a deal and she's one of the quasi-religious sect. And we can regain control of fishing and we can eliminate lots of hidden tariffs on things that people buy in the shops every day, rice, oranges, banana, New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, and so on. So I think we'd be much better off on the 29th of March, on day one, if we just leave. And it's in the interest of the EU to do a deal with the UK if they want. If they don't, everything you buy from the EU, you can buy from elsewhere in the world.
So would you say leaving without a deal is a positive thing?
Leaving without a deal is very, very positive. It's much better. You can, apart from the immediate economic benefits, you can also increase the level of democracy in the UK. And democracy is economic steroids.
I know you say that Canada, that we can have trade deals with other people across the world. However, it took Canada 7 years to get their trade deal with the EU, which benefits their economy hugely. Do you not think it'll take us a long time to try and secure trade relationships across the world?
Well, if anyone Googles Donald Tusk, who's an unelected president of the EU, and trade deals, he'll see that the UK was offered a Canada plus, 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 in other words, a better deal than Canada, a wider deal than Canada, by the EU in October of last year. The Prime Minister, who would baffle even Sigmund Freud trying to work out what was going on in her mind, turned it down and decided she wanted her own deal, which no one likes. So I think that you actually don't need a deal. That's the first thing. Secondly, if there's no deal, it's the EU that's in trouble, not the UK. So the EU, we now find out, it was only announced fairly recently, have actually offered us a Canada free trade deal.
Just going back to allies and democracies, what do you think about the impact of not having Europe as an ally in a world where we have superpowers like Russia and leaders like Donald Trump in power?
I think that the NATO alliance has proved very successful in upholding peace. And the idea that the chaotic EU, and it is extremely chaotic in my opinion, partly due to its lack of democracy, could marshal together its forces militarily is a really dangerous one. And I think that it's pie in the sky. disorganized. They find it very, very difficult to agree anything with David Cameron. They're not geared up for military tasks, as they've proven over the decades. It's been the United States and the UK that have had to take action when the going has got tough.
Some polls are showing that people are changing their minds about Brexit and the way they voted now that they're better informed. What would you say to those people?
I would say that you've seen how the EU operates. It's a dangerous system that they're advocating, which is reducing democracy as they attempt to forge an ever closer union that is not doesn't have the approval of the peoples of Europe. It's done great damage in Greece. It's done massive damage to Portugal, Spain, and Italy with very high youth unemployment. Even France is supposedly one of the beneficiaries, has unemployment of more than twice our level. It's just not a system which will work, and it's better for us and the European people if it reverts to being a common market and true democracy reigns in France and Germany as well as the UK.
So you reportedly put in £224,000 in campaign leave. I just want to ask you, how much is Brexit down to politics and how politics is run in this country and the political ambitions of people?
Well, politics is important, and I think there comes a time in countries where the political class can become detached from the rest of the population, which is a dangerous thing, and you have to try and find a way for bringing both EU politicians and UK politicians in line with the demos, in line with what the people want. And so I feel that's what we have to do in the next weeks, months, and years, or there will be trouble.
And how do you feel about the way politicians have dealt with this? Not just the Tories, but everyone in Parliament.
I feel that there's a lot of people in Parliament who have a quasi-religious devotion to the EU, but they subcontracted the decision to the people in a referendum. They said they would implement the decision. They triggered Article 50 by a huge majority. There was a subsequent election and 80% of MPs were voted in on manifestos which supported the referendum result and said they would adhere to it. I think they're now trying to wriggle out of what they've promised, which is very dangerous. So to the extent they're trying to wriggle out of it, I think they've done a bad job. They should adhere to their promises.
And how damaging has this been for the UK in the eyes of the rest of the world?
Well, the rest of the world we care about really the most is the democratic world, and they're well aware that one of the great strengths of democracy is these debates take place, and it creates a lot of energy, and energy is translated into better solutions through debate. So I think it's a bit of a myth to say the rest of the world is aghast at the incompetence of the UK. Look at Australia, a very successful country. We love going there. They frequently beat us at cricket, and they throw their prime ministers to the crocodiles every few months. So, you know, people understand democracy.
So what would you do next? Would you have the vote, let it go ahead tomorrow?
I'd have the vote, chuck out the Theresa May's terrible deal, her weird deal that only she likes. And I don't think she realises we live in a democracy, actually. I think she's got a strange gap in her intelligence, which she's missed the fact she actually needs people to support it. So, and then I'd leave on the 29th of March without a deal.
And just going back to the question of democracy, do you think it was democratic to hold the vote in the first place when people didn't know the consequences of what they were actually voting for, as no other countries left the EU?
It's quite insulting to the intelligence of the population to say you don't know what you're voting for after a three-month campaign, and one that had been discussed for a long time before that. So I think there's definitely a history of subcontracting, of Parliament subcontracting big constitutional issues to the electorate. So it did it in Scotland in 2014. No one said that was wrong. And it did it in 1975 when we were in the common market. And it's done it for Wales as well, when there was a vote there as to whether they set up their own parliament. And it's agreed to do it in what throughout the world people say was a very good agreement, the Good Friday Agreement. So it's not unusual to subcontract major constitutional issues to the electorate. Just imagine in Northern Ireland if you had a vote, or in Scotland where they did have a vote, and it had been 51% to leave the UK, if someone turned around and said, actually, we're not going to leave. The country would have become ungovernable, wouldn't it? You know, so that's the problem that you've got now. People voted to leave, long campaign, 52%. It's eyewash to say that they didn't understand it.
So obviously the Lib Dems are calling for a people's vote on the basis that people want to either reject Theresa May's deal or stay in the European Union. Do you think people, as you're so for democracy, people are entitled to change their mind and have a second vote?
Well, the problem is that you haven't implemented the first decision. And as David Cameron repeatedly said, the government must implement the decision. He said that in his retirement speech, and it was in the leaf that was sent round, and it was implicit in the fact that almost everyone in Parliament voted for a referendum in the first place. So it's just not sustainable. We've made the decision to leave. So what decision do you want the electorate to come up with now? They've subcontracted to the government, if you like, to do the best deal they can, make the best of the situation. And everyone knew you couldn't guarantee a deal. And as it happens, you can do well without one. Lots of countries around the world have. So it's been concocted, the idea of a people's vote, by dyed-in-the-wool senior Remainers who are devoted to the idea of Europeanism and don't accept the 2016 referendum.